Hey, glad you're here today. There's been a lot of things going on in our church lately, hasn't there? A lot of people are suffering through some really difficult things about life. About 3 weeks ago, I was putting together the messages that I've been doing through the book of John with you. And I get this happens to me every once in a while. The Lord said, "Nope, we're done with John. I want you to do something else." And for me, as a theologian, I love to study the Word of God verse by verse by verse by verse. That's just kind of how I am. And you know that, right? You've been coming here long enough, been doing this for 22 and a half years with you. And so there's security in that. I know where I'm going. Okay, so I know what's next. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. And then all of a sudden, the Lord comes along and says, "No, I want you to change that out, and I want you to do a topic." I'm not much of a topical preacher, to be honest with you, but there's been a subject that's been on my mind for a while. And so I said, "All right, Lord, what do you want to do with me, and where do you want to go here?" And so there's some things that I came up with. Actually, I've already put together quite a few messages. I'm calling it Walking Through the Tough Issues of Life. And some things the Lord laid on my heart was, I want to talk to you today about emotional healing. And for some of us, that's going to be a tough one. Next week, I want to talk to you about anger. So if you have an anger problem, you may not want to show up next week. I'm going to talk to you about anxiety, loneliness, despair, and one of the biggies, depression. I want to talk to you about those things. You know, these are issues that we know that it's going on in our world. We know that some of us, I'm going to be honest with you, I have struggled with every one of these issues in my own life. You know that. I've shared a lot of my own personal pains and struggles that I went through and the stress-related illnesses that I had. And for some reason, God has laid on my heart to share this with you in the next 6 weeks. And my hope and my prayer is that it will maybe stir in your heart to address the issue that may be going on in your own heart and life. Now, I want to make something really, really clear, is that I say this in my notes, I'm not a therapist. I'm a theologian. I know a lot of good therapists. And I want to encourage you that if in any of these sessions that we spend time together in the weeks to come, that God lays on your heart that you need to go see somebody and talk to somebody, I'm not that person. Doesn't mean that I don't love you. I learned on the very get-go of ministry, when I first went into ministry at the age of 28, I thought I had the answers to everybody's problems. And so everybody else thought I had all the answers. And I was spending 60 to 65% of my ministry was in counseling. And I realized that what I discovered was, I can get the worms out of the can. I can't get the worms back in the can. Okay? And I was damaging people's lives and hearts and emotions. And when I finally realized that after an incredible incident that happened because of me, I backed off. And now I would say probably on a percentage, I probably do about 3% counseling. I know better. That's not my area of expertise. And so that doesn't mean I don't love you and I don't care about you. I will help you find someone who will know how to help you. Is that fair enough to say that? Yeah, because otherwise I would be foolish to try and help you. I've titled this message today, this whole concept, it's called Coming Through the Darkness, Coming Through the Darkness. I think that we all struggle, don't we, with some deal of emotional or physical difficulties. We all do. If we were honest with ourselves, we would admit that today. We're not sure sometimes how to address them. And I think the church has been afraid to talk about emotional issues that people have. We're afraid of it because for some reason we aren't sure how to react when we ask someone, "So how are you doing?" Do you really want to know the answer to that question? No, that's just what we say. And so we have created in the church, unfortunately to me, we've created a stigma in the church that says that if you have issues, then you aren't walking in faith. And I'm here to tell you, that is so wrong. That is so wrong. I've heard so many speakers, preachers say this thing that if we really need something, then what you really need is more time in prayer and more time in the Word, because emotional issues aren't real. I've heard this said. It's just the devil that's messing with you, and you need to cast him out of your life, and you just need to read more, and then read more, and then read some more, and that's going to fix you. Well, I have a question. What happens when reading the Word of God doesn't work? What do you do when it just doesn't do anything for you? What happens when life becomes so foggy and stressful and overwhelming that you can't hear from God? What if I'm so wounded that I feel that each day is just a struggle to survive? I struggle to eat. I struggle to walk around the house. I struggle to stay focused on my family, on my friends, on my job, on my own life. What do I do when I can't do what I need to just do what needs to be done? What do I do? And the reality of most of this is you'll find yourself walking this path alone. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part. You're going to feel confused. You're going to feel lost. You're going to just wander around. That's what happens. But I also know this too, and I wrote this. Please understand, not everyone will experience most of these emotions. Some people have the ability, like water off a duck's back. They have the ability to get through the difficult things of life. Some people can just let it roll off of them, and I know people like that, and I wish I was one of those kind of people. But the truth of the matter is that if the truth were told, there are more people than the statistics tell us who are emotionally vulnerable right now. And that's how it is. And in my own experience as a pastor of 36 years, I have found that a lot of people are struggling emotionally. And we're afraid to admit that. Because we don't want anybody to think that we're vulnerable or that we're weak. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of us in this room today are very weak. The majority of us sitting here right now are fighting some type of emotional or even physical battle. And these battles are fought day and night. They can cause us to be sleepless. We can become detached from ourselves and the loved ones around us. We can become depressed. We can become anxious. We can become angry. We can become bitter. We can become frustrated. And ultimately, these will turn into fear, which causes us to abandon our support groups and walk this darkness alone. That's how this works. And many of you, like me, went through these paths. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of you, maybe unfortunately at this point, have not gotten through some of these stages. You're stuck in some of these stages. I know that there are many in this room who have been emotionally hurt. You've been harmed emotionally. Such harm can cause broken trust, right? It can cause chronic pain and illness. I was at a conference one time on spiritual healing. I'll never forget this. A gentleman said a lot of times they'll come to you and they'll say, "Pastor, my shoulder's not doing well. Could you please pray for my shoulder?" And I'll never forget the speaker said, "You know, sometimes it's not the shoulder that needs to be fixed. It's the emotion that's driving the shoulder to be hurt." And you've got to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God to know, where do you deal with these issues? You may have chronic pain going on in your life right now. You may have lower back issues. You may have headaches that won't go away. And a lot of times those come from emotional issues that are going on in your life. Stress is a killer. Stress will knock you out. It will jump on you. It'll tear your eyes out and pull your hair. It'll do everything it can to you. That's what stress does. You can feel a sense of rejection. Even if it's not true that you're not being rejected, you're going to feel like you've been rejected. You don't feel as if you belong to the normal crowd anymore. And because you're walking this loneliness thing by yourself, you feel like you're all alone and nobody understands and nobody cares. And here's the sad result of such emotional pain. You have a sense that life is meaningless. When I began to write this stuff, it was amazing what was coming off of my own heart and mind. And I thought, Lord, this is where we're at. This is where a lot of us are today. This is how we feel. And so how do we be honest as a church, as the church universal, and say there are issues that are going on in our lives? The unfortunate thing is that I must have been watching the news or something when I was doing this, because our society is becoming a place where we're finding no trustworthy behaviors anymore. We are finding it harder. I'm finding it hard, aren't you, to believe in those who should be leading us into wholeness? They're leading us into a hole, is what they're doing. Instead, our world has become self-gratifying. And church, that's not what God would have us to be. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. And we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. There's no self-gratification in that. We've bought into the world and what they're teaching us. There's no such thing as news anymore. Now all it is what did this person say about that person, and what does that person say back about that person, and who can say it worst, who can say it the ugliest, who can say it the loudest, and who gets to get on which stations the most often. That's what I'm finding. Every station I go to, it's the same person. It's the same person saying the same thing, just on a different channel. That's not news. No, that's self-gratification. We're all about ourselves, but ourselves are a mess. We're an absolute mess. We lack true understanding of morality. We've lost it. We've lost the moral compass that once led us to care about one another. We love to love as we love ourselves. That's what we're doing. We love ourselves too much. We've lost track of it. It's hard to love someone else when you don't love yourself, though. It is. It's very hard. It's hard to believe in others when you don't believe in yourself. And it's hard to believe in a good God when all you see is pain, frustration, selfishness, and greed. Agree? It's hard. It's hard to believe that God is good when I look at my world and it's a mess. It's hard to believe that there's a good God when I don't feel His goodness because of everything that's happening around me. To trust in a God that you can't see is hard enough, isn't it? Absolutely. But to trust in an unseen God who isn't being shown or seen in His own children, that's going to cause great confusion, which it has. The truth is, there is no easy fix for emotional pain and hurt. There's no easy fix. But it sure isn't helping when our leaders or us are not living the way God would have us to live. And when we become self-gratifying, we forget about you. I forget about you, and you forget about the people around you. And our world has done that today. We are emotional messes today. We're out of control. Is Jesus the answer? Yes, I believe that with my heart. Yes, the church needs to lead the way in helping people find peace. And yes, I believe that there is hope. There is hope. And yes, we're all in this together. So don't give up. Hang in there. And we can get through this together. I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to invite you as a part of this church. I'm trying to invite you and saying to you, I want you to know that God loves you here. And that together we can hang in there together. And I don't want you to walk this alone anymore. So many of you are afraid to tell someone, I'm not doing well. And I want to give you permission to say, I'm not doing well. And I want us as a church, I want to give you permission to walk with people. But be careful how you walk with them. You're not their therapist. You're their friend. Don't start a home Bible study this week and say, all of you that have problems, having emotional issues, come to my house and I'll fix you. If you do that, I'm going to show up at your house. And I'm going to fix you. That's not what I'm implementing here. What I'm saying is, we as children of God, of the family of Christ, we're to help each other out. And care enough for the person next to you that when you see them and you say, hi, how are you? And you can tell they're not doing well. As a guy, you put your hand on their shoulder and you say, is there anything I can do to help you? As a woman, you do the huggy thing that you do. And you hug each other. You say, are you going to be okay? I know I feel I'm okay. That's why we have two cry rooms. Because the truth is, if we can't get that here, you're going to go out there. And out there is a mess. We just can't do that anymore. So now that we've identified some of our difficulties in life, what do we do now? What do we do? Again, I'm not here to sweep this thing underneath the rug and say, you know, hey, suck it up, buttercup. You ever heard that one? I love that. Suck it up, buttercup. God is good. Just believe and have more faith. Just have more faith. Okay, turn the person on your left and just say, hey, have more faith. How'd that work? How you feel better? No, it doesn't work. No. I think there's some practical biblical steps that I think we can take to help us get our lives back. One more thing. Ready? Here it is. It's on the screen. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. See, I can already tell in this audience, I'm looking across this audience, I already see you, there's a few that already shut down. You don't want to hear this. You didn't come to church to get therapy. You didn't come to Hillside Church to have a therapy session. You came to hear God's word. Ha ha. I've got some of God's word that's good therapy. Okay? So suck it up, buttercup. Because here we go. Okay? If you can't find peace or help on your own, like I said, seek out some good counsel. If you're not sure what to do, call us here at the church. We'd love to help you. But be sure it's someone who has the tools to really help you. And please, don't take what I'm going to teach in the next 6 weeks as your weekly therapy. Okay? If you rely on therapy from me, we both need to go get help. Okay? Because I'm not good. My therapist is here in the audience, and he knows better. I don't have an anger problem. I have a rage problem. Me and garden hoses, remember? We don't get along. We don't get along. So just know that, all right? But as your pastor, as a theologian, I've been through some of these struggles. Doesn't mean I know what to do. I just want to tell you I've been through them. I have felt lost. I couldn't sort things out on my own. I read the Bible, but it couldn't read me. Did you get that? I read the Bible, but it couldn't read me. And I prayed. Oh, man, did I pray. But my prayers didn't work. Nothing worked for me. I was lost. I was all by myself. And if it wasn't for certain individual people in my life who were willing to take the initiative and come to my aid. Because, see, the pastor's never supposed to fall apart. And I fell apart. If it wasn't for those people who came to my side, I don't know that I would be in the pulpit today. I don't know that I'd be here. My days were long. My fears grew. I just wasn't getting out of my dark hole. I needed help. If that's you, get help. Get it now. You are more valuable than you realize. You are more loved than you know. You are worth everything to those who love you. Don't give up. Hang in there. we're going to get through this. If you hear or learn only one thing from me today, it's this. I want you to hear this. God has not forsaken you. God loves you just as you are. I want you to say that with me. Ready? Therapy class. You ready? I want you to say it. He loves you just as you are. So in my humble, broken, hopefully restored opinion, here are some things that I think might work for you. Now, some of them did for me in time. Some didn't, and then later on they did. So this is from my heart to you. As I finally found the ability to read God's word, when I finally began to think my prayers were working, this is what God began to reveal to me. As I spoke with counselors and all those things that began to come into my own life, here's some things that I want to share with you, okay? Here it is. Ready? And I wrote this on purpose. Try to get close to God. See, the problem is when we have these issues that come up in our lives, we run from God. But the truth of the matter is, the farther we run from Him, the worse we get. He is our salvation. He is our strength. He is the one who can guide us and take care of us in our most difficult hours. So try your best. If you're in this right now, in this mess of what's going on, try your best to get close to God. Psalm 23:3, you know what it says, right? He restores my soul. Your soul needs to be restored. God is in the business of restoring our souls. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's in the business of restoring our souls. Now, this can involve several things. Talk to Him about your brokenness. He's safe. I will never forget one of my counselors said to me, God is safe. Because see, as a pastor, I don't know who to tell that I'm not doing well. I mean, what if I got here on Sunday morning and you guys come walking through the door and say, good morning, Pastor. And I said, no, it's really not a good morning. I'm not having a good day. I really don't want to be here. I'd really rather be away from you. You'd get your cup of coffee and go home. You see what I'm saying? So there's this pressure that you and I experience that when we go to work and your boss says, hey, good morning, how you doing? You say, good. That's not really what he's asking. Because if you really responded on that one particular day when life is siphoning for you, your boss would say, you need a medical couple days off without pay, get out of here kind of a thing, right? So we play this game sometimes. Play this game. Because I think we're afraid. But the truth of the matter is, I have to be honest about my brokenness. He's safe. Tell him your pain. He understands pain. Jesus understands pain. Is that new to you? For some reason, we got him lifted up on this high pedestal up there, and he's just this great God who's got everything. Everybody's singing songs, and everything's wonderful, and he doesn't understand. Are you kidding me? He died on a cross. They beat the living daylights out of him. He was so emotionally overwhelmed that he asked his father, could you please give me a plan B? I don't want to go through this. How many times have you cried out, God, I just can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. He understands. And here's the tough one. Ready? Choose to trust him. Proverbs 3:5. You know this verse. Trust in the Lord with what? Say it. No. See? Then we go, lean on your own understanding, all your ways. No. Don't miss that part. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why? Because your heart needs to trust somebody. Yeah. See, one of the first things that goes out the window in our lives is trust. You can't trust the one that's hurt you. You can't trust the one who's lied to you. You can't trust the one who's let you down. And somehow we transfer that to God. Can't trust him. You have to convince yourself. One more time, ready? I have to convince myself that God can be trusted. Why? Because I don't trust anybody right now. I've been hurt. I've been lied to. They didn't hold up their end of the deal. So how do I trust a God who I can't see, who in my mind has let me down? He hasn't let you down. But you have to convince your brain, I can trust him. Number two. Read from the book of Psalms each day. If just a verse, just a verse. Don't read the whole chapter. You know, especially Psalm 119. Good luck on that one. Okay, that's not a good one to start with. Just a verse. Like this one. Here, look what this verse did for me. Psalm 25:1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. That's all I could get out. That's all I could get. And I sat in that lousy lounge chair. I'm so glad my wife got me a new one, because every time I sit in the one I sit in, it always reminds me of all this stuff. But I have a new one now, man. I sat on that baby. I don't remember any of this stuff. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. You hear it? See, I remember saying, I'm in the dark here, Lord. I feel lost and alone. Are you there, Lord? You ever said that? Are you there? Hello? Hello? That's what it sounded like. Proverbs 27:5. In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. Oh, man. I remember saying, Lord, I just need to be safe again. He will hide me, and it goes on, he'll hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle. And I remember saying, Lord, I just want to hide right now. And I could just, every once in a while I hear him say, that's okay, come hide with me. Come over here and hide with me. And I would, I'd just hide. Stupid cell phone would go off. I thought, I'm going to chuck this thing as far as I can. But then I'd have to pay somebody back for it. Third, you're not going to like this one. Confess your sin. I, too, had to confess my sin. It was the sin of not trusting God. I took control. What a mess I made, huh? What a mess you're making. I did all I could to right my fears and my anxieties, and that didn't work well for me. How's that working for you? Yeah. I had to come to the place where I had to get honest with me. I was the problem. It has been said, no one makes you mad. It's a choice. Well, no one makes you bitter. No one can make you angry or fearful. You have to choose to be that way. You should have been sitting here. You should have seen the light just went off. There's about six of you just went, I could see you light up. Really? Oh, yeah. You're choosing to be the way you are. Aha. It just dawned on you. I wish I could point you out. It just dawned on you. You've been blaming somebody else for your anger. I just took that away. You're welcome. That was worth you coming today. Yeah. You're allowing your circumstances to influence your actions. You might just sit down today and have a heart-to-heart with your heart. And then you might just have to invite God to speak to your heart. And then you might just have to tell your heart and God's that you're sorry for allowing something else to have your heart. You see, that's called, you got it up there? Adultery. Idolatry, not adultery, excuse me, idolatry. You got that one, the red one up there? No? It's called idolatry. And my friends, that's one of the big no-nos of Scripture. The truth is, you can't move on in your healing process until you come face to face with the reality of your sin. Can't do it. Number four, you must, and I mean this, I mean must, you must allow God to have control of your thoughts. This is a really hard one. Why? Because you're not thinking straight right now. You're just not thinking straight. The lines have become blurry. You're not sure which way to go or to think. And it's not making much sense right now. And God doesn't even make much sense. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:5 from the Voice Translation. It says this, we're demolishing arguments and ideas. Every high and mighty philosophy that pits itself against the knowledge of the one true God. We're taking prisoners of every thought, every emotion, and subduing them in obedience to the anointed one. We're taking prisoners of our thoughts? Yeah. Why must I take my thought as prisoners? Because I have become a prisoner of wrong thinking. Fearful thoughts? Wrong. Hopeless, hateful thoughts? Wrong. God has left me thoughts? Wrong. But that's what's going through your mind. That's what's infiltrated your very thought process. Those are all wrong processes. You have stinky thinking. We have to demolish these bad arguments and those things that torment our mind. But you say, but I'm hurt, and I've been betrayed. I have a right to feel this way. Doggone it. And don't you tell me that I can't feel this way. That person hurt me, and I'm going to hurt them back. And man, the next time I see my, I am gonna whip them with my tongue in a way, man, I'm gonna kick them in tomorrow. Yeah. Number five, you have to forgive. Okay, now we're done. Forget it. Now I ain't listening to you anymore. Yeah, hang on. The hurt has control of you, and you have to let it go. You know this because I'm going to say it anyway, but here it goes. Ready? Here it is. The longer you hold on to your hate and pain, the longer it or they will have control of your life. Yeah. Hebrews 12:15 says this, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no one be like a bitter root springing up and causing trouble, and through him many become defiled. You see, bitterness causes trouble. Trouble will defile you, your family, and your friends. A bitter root can take control of your heart and cause you to miss the grace of God. I wish I had hours to talk to you about that. God's grace is seen in your holiness. God's grace is seen in your peace. But God's grace is not seen when bitterness is ruling your heart. By the way, bitterness is anger that has been turned inward. Bitterness springs up. It comes from within and it works its way out. Bitterness sometimes is a very hard pill to swallow. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry. Quarreling and harsh words and dislike of others should have no place in your life. You want me to read that one more time, or do you not like that verse? Instead, you should be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has, what? Given you, because you belong to Christ. So how horrible a bitter, angry, mean, bad-tempered person can become when we don't allow ourselves to forgive those who have hurt us. Now, hang on, ready? I wrote this, put side note. I hope it's up on the screen. Ready? Forgiving someone and allowing them back into your life to hurt you again are two different situations. Please tell me you understand that. I can forgive them, but that doesn't mean they get back in my life. Because sometimes that person who hurt you is going to hurt you again. And I wrote this: only godly wisdom and counsel will help you to know the difference. We have a tendency in Christianity to say, oh, Susie, you need to forgive him. Oh, Bob, you need to forgive her. That is true. But that doesn't mean he gets to come home. Do you understand? Big difference. And you need godly wisdom to know the difference. And you may need godly counsel to know the difference. Okay? I have so many stories I wish I could tell you, but there have been so many times throughout my career that I've had, you know, domestic violence take place. And the individual come to church and say, but Pastor, he loves me. And I've thought to myself, yeah, and I love him too. Hang on a second. I've got a size 32 bat in my office. And I'd like to show him how much I love him. I won't put up with that. I hope you won't either. That's uncalled for. But if you've been hurt in that way, and you've been walking through these processes that we've talked about today, one of them is you have to forgive. Yes, you do. But that doesn't mean you have to walk back into that situation. You have to be wise in that way. Agreed? Yes. Number six. I only got a couple minutes. Look at yourself as God sees you. He loves you, cares about you. He's crazy about you. He hates that sin or sinful people have injured you. He is for you. He's not against you. That new song we sing today, he's for you. Romans 8, with the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a contentious, low-lying black cloud. I love that. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air and freeing you from the lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. You have been freed from a lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. It doesn't have to be this way anymore. Free. We're free to get close to God, free to speak to God and have his word speak to us. We're free to deal with sin in our life honestly. We're free to get our thoughts under control. We're free to forgive, and we're free to see ourselves loved by God. We're free. One final thought. I stand here today to tell you that God is faithful. He's with you. I want you to hold on. For some of you, you just got to hold on. I don't want you to let go. You're gonna get through this. You're gonna be okay. Trust me. Trust me. I want to close today, and I have a video that I want to show you. And I know we're a little over time, so forgive me, and hopefully, Sherry, you'll forgive me. I want to show this video to you, but as the men are coming forward, I want to pray over it, and just as you're watching this video, please ask God to just minister to your heart. And again, if there's something that's going on in your life and you need some help, please call the office. Or if you know a good counselor, let's be honest with ourselves, okay? All right, let me pray. Father God, I know this is pretty heavy stuff, but I feel with all my heart it was important that we do this. These are issues that we need to deal with, and the church has been laxed in that, and I ask for forgiveness. I pray today, if there's anyone in this audience, Lord, that needs spiritual healing, that they would take these steps that we've shared today and begin the process of getting their life back. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for loving us the way you do. And I pray that you will minister and work in people's lives. Continue, God, to bless this church and all that you do. We love you so very, very much. In Jesus' name, amen.